Welcome back, everybody, to Working Title here on CGLO 1690 AM. So, Cleo, this creep was just making women feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, he had a lot of complaints from all of his female coworkers in the various places that he worked. And he ended up getting fired from one place specifically because he cornered a woman in the elevator and just wouldn't let her out, which is, oh my God.
Yeah.
Terrifying. Awful. Yeah. So clearly from like right out of the gate, this guy is bad news bears.
Yeah. Weirdo.
Yeah. And according to Time Magazine, he was known to prowl around his neighborhood at night, looking in people's windows. And a woman that he'd gone to high school with reported that he made several obscene phone calls to her.
So just what I'm picturing is like in the definition, the word creep is just this guy's picture. is what we're getting at.
It's like it's so like every stereotypical.
Box. Every box is being ticked right now.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's got a thin, strange mustache as well. Jesus. So, really, and he's slightly balding. Like he's got the look.
It's like he just embraced it.
Committing, yeah. He's like, you know what? This is it. Like
this is who I am.
Yeah, I'm just gonna lean into it. So he was never arrested for any of his peeping around and stuff.
Yeah.
Apparently, children in the neighborhood used to taunt him with nicknames like Crazy Pat. And then he would chase after them in a rage.
Oh no.
Which is like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Crazy Pat is also the most like tame nickname they could have come up with. Like
exactly. Of all the things they could have called him.
So eventually his mother passes away. Oh, and no. He ends up getting really into radio, and his whole house becomes filled with like radio parts and gear and tools, as well as just tons and tons of stacks of porn and gun magazines.
Not cool.
not cool. Have to wonder though, there's gotta be a specific fetish magazine for guns as well, like one of them
like
girls
like
with guns or something.
Yeah, the cross,
some clever, yeah, sure, some clever catchy thing.
I'm sure there is a crossover. I know there's Revolver, which is like the heavy metal one.
That's so funny. Wow. Yeah. have you ever seen, okay, this is a sidetrack, but the movie Heavy Metal, the like 80s animation movie?
I don't think so.
It's wild. Would recommend. I think it's actually Canadian. And it has like John Candy and Eugene Levy. And like, it's this crazy sci-fi animated movie. And you can find it on YouTube. You can find it on YouTube for free. And it's
I love John Candy. So I'm
ridiculous.
In already.
John Candy's
story.
Where were we? Right. He starts collecting, you know, radio equipment, whatever. He's living his weird life. So about a year and a half before the murders take place, he'd been hired at the Edmund Post Office as a part-time relief carrier.
Okay.
And this meant that he didn't have a dedicated route to himself. He just filled in for other people.
Yeah, okay.
And it was hourly, and it didn't have the same like job security and benefits.
Yeah, like it was like on call probably. Like they would say, hey, such and such is sick. Can you come and do it? Or I would assume so, or something like that, maybe.
Yeah. And he just didn't have like, you know, the benefits of a full-time consistent position.
Sure.
He would, and angered him. It was hard not to swear. It angered him greatly that he didn't receive the same benefit.
Yeah, wasn't part of the actual team.
Yeah, exactly. He just wanted to fit in. And he was disciplined very often for misdirecting mail, being rude to customers, being late all the time. He once sprayed a dog with mace. While the dog was just like inside the fence, so it wasn't even attacking him or anything.
And it's like, this is like the 80s, you said, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, but yeah, of course. Like, you know, when nobody would do anything about it.
Yeah, exactly.
Just, like, you could just, like, you know, murder somebody in broad daylight.
Literally.
And and they'd be like, well, that guy was always a nice dude. I don't know. You know,
yeah, he would never do something like that.
You know, I'm sure.
Or you can get multiple complaints against you.
Yeah.
To the police from like peeping in your neighborhood and just
having. Yeah. And just like nothing ever happened. Like this guy has so many red flags around him. You know?
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, soon they will all come to a head.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So he basically was you know, targeted. He was targeted by like all of his supervisors and they were really on him, and he had threatened to take revenge, I guess, a few times.
Yeah.
And so on August 19th, he received another formal complaint. And that was apparently, you know, that was his last straw. Tipping point. Yeah. Sorry.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Oh man.
So,
well, the tipping point, I think, would be a good spot to throw in our
great to get some songs in there.
Some songs in before we delve deep, but yeah, I think this next song name looks I think perfect for
where
we are at in the story.
For coming up to this point in the story, yes. Yeah, the next song is, we got two songs. The first one is Drown with the Monster by White Lung, and they're a Vancouver based
cool
punk band, and that whole album is great as well. And then following that, we have Four Chords by Pup, which is
classic Canadian punk. Yep.
And yeah, enjoy.
And then after that, we'll be right back with some more of this story. I think we're about to get to right in the meat and potatoes,
in the thick of it. Yeah.
Yep. All righty, so don't touch that dial now, stay right here on Working Title.
Friends
my guts. They only listen to noise punk or nothing, and they haven't listened to any new music since college. It all makes them sick to their stomachs, and I never liked them, so they can all shove it. Fuck.
Welcome back, everybody. It's Working Title here on CGLO 1690 AM. So, Cleo, we just reached the tipping point.
Yes. Here.
And so yes. he received his last formal complaint.
Yes. August 19th, he receives another formal complaint, and he's like, you know what? This is it. I am done. So at 7 a.m. the next morning, he shows up to work in his little postman uniform.
Yeah.
And two government issue 45 Colt semi-automatics, a 22 caliber pistol, and ammunition for all three stowed in his mail bag. So he rolls up to work.
Oh my god, pistols. I didn't know. Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's got two semi-automatics and then a pistol.
Yeah.
It just in his bag, just in his little postman bag. And so he enters the post office and locks the doors. And nobody else can come in or out, basically. Mm-hmm. And then he goes directly to his supervisor, who's named Rick Esser, mm-hmm. and just shoots him in the chest, immediately.
Yeah.
And then Mike Rockney, who is a full-time carrier, was in his office to discuss taking some time off. Like, they were just in the middle of...
He was asking for vacation.
And the guy walked in, and so he shot him as well. So he just walks into the office, immediately goes for his supervisor.
Yeah. Takes out the first witness.
Yeah, just boom, boom, moving on.
Yeah.
And most of the
employees, I'm assuming, are panicking by now.
Well, actually, most of the other workers thought that the sounds were like fireworks or party favors or something, or some people thought it was just a prank. No one immediately thought
gunshot. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, yeah, it's not now. Now people immediately freak out when they hear a firecracker thinking it's a gunshot. Like, it's the opposite.
Dive for cover,
you know, like you saw there was a stampede in Times Square a couple weeks ago.
Oh my God, no.
There was a motorcycle or something backfired, and people thought someone was shooting up the Times Square, and there was a stampede. Some people got injured.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I know.
So
it's
sad.
It's the literal opposite reaction now.
What has the world come to, Danny? Oh God.
I know.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, well.
So they think it's party favors. Crazy.
They think it's party favors. I wish it was party favors.
Yeah.
Then he just really came into his whole psychopath, mass murderer moment, and just strode through the building and was shooting at people trying to flee. He bolted the rest of the doors. One guy had been shot but managed to get outside, but he ended up dying in the parking lot. So he was so close to freedom almost made it, which is so disappointing. He blocked the exits, and then he went for people that were hiding under tables and in spots. And then just a few minutes later, the police arrived to find a parking lot just filled with victims.
Yeah, yeah.
And for 45 minutes, they tried like communicating with him by phone and by megaphone or bullhorn or thing is. And got, you know, no answer. And then finally around 8:30 a.m. They send a SWAT team in,
mm-hmm.
and they find, you know, his victims inside, and he killed 14 people.
Oh my God.
And wounded 6 or 7 others. And then he killed himself to escape
the consequences. Yeah.
Exactly. This is the craziest part of the whole story to me.
Okay.
Just when I read this sentence in the article, I was just like, shocked. What are you talking about?
Okay. Yeah.
The surviving Edmond postal workers returned to work the next day.
Oh no.
Capitalism. I was like, I was like, are you kidding me?
That's
in what world?
That's bonkers.
But there is a slight, like a slight tiny little sweet thing about it, but like the building was surrounded by flowers and you know, tokens of memorial for the victims, and all along the mail routes they found flowers and cards and other gifts and, you know, sympathy and condolences and stuff. But I can't believe they had to go into work that day.
Well, it's like, you know, the supervisor's dead, right? So, you know, some dude from like corporate
HR, corporate comes down and is like, oh God.
Corporate US mail service and is just like, well, I'm sorry, guys. I mean, like, I'm not going to say this happens all the time, but I mean, you know, it's just like, oh my Lord.
I can just picture
like, but people need their mail. Like, you're the only mail service in this Oklahoman town like this. You know, that's probably honestly more the reason because it was like they were an essential service in a small, in small town America. But absolutely, it's still crazy.
Yeah, it's just insane to think about having to do, but it is and obviously big shouts out to all of our postal workers, especially during the pandemic. They are unbelievable. I was watching an Anthony Bourdain episode the other day, and the opening shot is like Montreal in the middle of a massive snowstorm, and then just like the mail guy just from like just with wind and snow like whipping in his face, and you're like, oh my God, you're a champion.
Yep. They really are heroes during the winter.
While I sit in my house and get online clothes delivered to me and whatever else,
and complain that they didn't walk up the stairs and they dropped the package at the bottom.
You're like, oh,
I know exactly. It's true. Should have some perspective. But yeah. On that note, we're gonna hit you with another song. We will come back with another bit of talking. Just I guess finishing up what's left of this story. And then we'll have another ad break, and then we'll be wrapping up the end of our show, ladies and gentlemen. So thanks for sticking with us. And so the next song we got up is Grandeza by Sessa, which I love it's not alliteration, but I like the flow of that.
Yeah, sounds good together.
Yeah.
It works. They bounce off each other.
Yeah, and do you know where they're from or?
I actually really don't know much about that band at all. I just heard the song and I really liked it.
Awesome. Well, I can't wait. All righty. So we'll be right back with some more working title, everybody. So stay tuned. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Minha grandeza, minha grandeza, canta eu, minha grandeza, minha grandeza, canta eu, meu irmão, minha mulher, que sonhos, o sonho dos mais perigosos. Meu irmão, minha mulher, me dê a mão. Eu não sei de muito não, eu não trago a solução. Minha grandeza, minha grandeza cantável, minha grandeza, com a clareza de Erasmo eu lhe estendo a mão. Minha grandeza, minha grandeza. Inadiável coração, que sonhos, o sonho dos mais perigosos. Inadiável coração, em doido horizonte batas, numeroso minha grandeza, minha grandeza.
Welcome back, everybody. And that was just Grandeza by Sessa. Oh, God, I still love saying that. That just sounds great. But yeah, that was that was really interesting, Cleo. Because so it's funny, the joke in Jumanji, you know, full circle, mm-hmm. He's got a bunch of pistols, right?
Yeah.
And so it makes me think that it was way more specific than that. Like you're saying, he had Colt 45 semi-automatic pistols and then a 22 caliber pistol.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, that, yeah. So the joke was super specific. And now it's even more morbid,
you know. Yeah, really went for it.
Yeah. But yeah, like I've always, I know that there's literally a video game called Postal, I think inspired
really?
By. Yeah, exactly. Like,
oh my god!
So much so that they have a, you know, not even inspired, but it's like it's just called Postal, and I don't know if it's like, you know, but yeah, it's like this is a phrase. Yeah, like, you know, it's like the actual story is so morbid, but it's a phrase that literally just gets thrown around, you know,
like it's nothing.
Like very willy nilly.
Yeah,
you know? And like I almost went postal. As people like they say that
all the time. Yeah. And it did, it ended up, like there were 15 other, if not more, shootings by postal employees from 1986 to 1999. Yeah. So it spawned kind of copycat crimes and things like that.
That's it. A lot of people see that. They're like, oh, well, that guy just did it. It's like, what's stopping me from just doing that?
Just going, yeah, just snapping. But I think if anything, I was gonna say obviously this man was insane and a terrible person and a murderer. But it's unfortunate that people often feel so overwhelmed by their jobs that they use the phrase like I'm gonna go postal, or they feel like they're going to snap for the pressure of capitalism.
Exactly. It's crazy.
It is crazy. But yeah, it's an insane story. Did not know where it came from at all.
Well, hopefully stuff's changing soon. I mean, Ottawa, rumor has it, they want to make a 4-day work week in Canada.
Really?
But they want to do it by like 2030 or something.
Wow. Hopefully that happens. I want to work 4 days a week.
I think they said 2025, but we'll see.
Oh, that seems like so long in the future.
I know, exactly. But hell, I mean, it was 2019 yesterday for me.
Yeah, still haven't.
Yeah, All right, so we're going to hit you guys with one more ad break. We'll come back to close our show, and then we'll hit you with the three last songs we have. So thank you so much for sticking it out. You're on CGLO, 1690 AM. We'll be right back.